I stand here amazed today. I stand absolutely stunned, amazed. I am I'm undone. This day is May the 11th. It is 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. This is Russ Dizdar. Shatter the Darkness live broadcast on this Wednesday night, 2011. But I stand amazed. I'm undone. I just got done reading about 6-7 chapters. Gospel of Mark. Listen, all the other books on conspiracy, all the things that we read, the Antichrist here, the false prophet there, George Soros over there, what Barack Obama did or didn't do, what the European Union is doing, what the Nephilim might be up to nowadays, and all the other conspiracies put together. You know, electromagnetic pulse weapons and new stealth technologies, parallel universes, and intention, entanglement, remote viewers, well, all the rest, everything. I even want to say today that as I actually read the stuff, I know it makes me sick at times. It just does. It makes me sick. It burns my britches to see those who are, well, in need, vast need, desirous of something more than this broken down humanity, this broken down physical body, the limitations of our capacities, and all of these sense of the end of days, and the end of the world all around us. Well, let me tell you something. I stand amazed today. I stand astounded today. I stand literally undone. I told you Monday night, I told you Tuesday night about an individual that wrote to me and said, I pray daily that your God doesn't exist. You can't imagine the emotion now, the compassion that I have for this person, whether he likes it or not, that I've now adopted as a friend. I ain't letting go. I'm going to ask God to wrestle with you. I'm going to ask God to engage you because you've never known him. Many of you listening right now, satellite, internet, archives, you've never known God. Sylvia Brown has never known God. Edgar Casey never knew God. Nostradamus never knew God. Yet they talk about God and all the spirits and all of the, well, the physics, the science, the alchemy, and all the other stuff put together. Some of it seems to be amazing, too. I mean, it seems to be some kind of miracles. There is this week the theme, the physics of miracles. That's what we're dealing with this week. If you're new to this broadcast, it's a little different today. There's a lot of packed, charged emotion. But it is by the Spirit of God, it is by a power, dunamis, that fallen mankind does not have in him or on him, that the Luciferians listening, by the way, listen, welcome. Blessings in the name of Christ to you. To the recons and those that are government and shadow government, listen, the blessing of God upon you, what does it make any difference? Shoot the people that you're opposed to, so what? It doesn't change the fact that you're lost, that you're without God, that God summons you, that there's someone that died on a cross that spoke words that nobody else could. You're still a human. You're still limited. You're still broken. You're still fallen. You still got sin stuck all over you. Death is the X's in your eyes. Hell waits. Satan dances over that kind of a grave. God weeps. See, the God that I'm talking about weeps. The God that I'm talking about can be filled with compassion. The God that I'm talking about is, he is so relational. God desires in mercy triumphs over judgment. So don't ask me to judge the world. Don't ask me to talk about how filthy and ugly and down and dirty and satanic and Luciferian it is. And it is. Because today I stand stunned, astounded, and amazed at Jesus the Nazarene. You can talk about so many others all day long. You can talk about football players. You can talk about friends. You can talk about wealthy individuals. You can talk about politicians. You can talk about Gandhi. You can talk about whoever else you want to talk about. But today I'm going to tell you, when it comes to the physics of miracles, the demonstration of this is in the person of Christ. This Yahweh, God, in human flesh, this is by the hand of God. Now, the word used in the Greek, chosen by the Spirit of God, dunamis, it's it's a reference in the Gospel of Mark to power, demonstrated, operative in astounding people and demonstrating a concept of a breaking in, what we would say miracle, miraculous, and astounding and beyond and supernatural. The physics of God are simply, listen, well, not simply, I mean, just beyond our ability. The physics of jumping over a building. How many have done it? Come on, raise your hands. How many have stood before a 10-story building and jumped over it and landed on the other side? Where is Superman? Where is the Ubaman? Where is the Nephilim? I don't even think Nephilim could do that. You understand the finite limitations of humanity in our brain and our capacity. You can only run so fast and think so much and do so many things. We're going to talk about that today. Let me welcome you to Shatter the Darkness, the broadcast live on a Wednesday night. Tonight afterwards at 8 o'clock on the Ragged Edge, another live show we do, we're going to play for you what sounds like a demon or a demonized subpersonality. And if it's really a hoax, it's a pretty good one. I'm going to let you be the judge of it tonight. And I'm going to tell you at that later 8 o'clock to 10 o'clock hour about a ritual that looks like has been done against us. And the elements of that has been sent in the mail to us on Monday. We picked it up. It was really funny because being a believer in Christ, if you don't know, we have the Spirit of God. And the Spirit of God instantly, as I touched the envelope, it was an immediate awareness of what was inside and what was done. So that's 8 o'clock to 10 o'clock live. You can go to shatterthedarkness.net, www.shatterthedarkness.net on the web, and then scroll down a little bit where it says Wednesdays. That's all you got to do. Take a look at Wednesdays, and there it's going to tell you, it'll have Listen Live, Blog Talk Radio, The Ragged Edge. Just click on that. It'll take you there, and it'll show you how to get on at 8 o'clock tonight. We're here at 9 minutes after 6 p.m., and I want you to know that it is by divine providence. And I'm going to, I know right now that the Spirit of God is going to strike many of you, I mean, seize you, astound you, speak into you. And by God's power, may many be saved. May God stretch out his hand to heal you, body, soul, mind, physically, emotionally, mentally, in the name of Jesus of Nazareth. May the Lord Jesus Christ destroy everything demonic, now live or later, when spoken and listened to in the archives. I will trust the amazing grace, the astounding omniscience, omnipresence of God. In the physics of miracles, we can describe, well, God does it by his power. God does it by the anthropomorphism in Scripture, Acts chapter 4. It's put this way, when the simple believer says, for God in prayer, stretch out your hand and heal and perform miraculous signs and wonders in the name of your holy servant Jesus. Let me tell you something, as massive and mighty and miraculous and powerful and as needed miracles are, they pale in comparison to the person of Jesus Christ. Not going to talk about Hitler today. Not going to talk about Sidney Gottlieb in mind control. Not going to talk about Mengele. Not going to talk about Stalin and the purge of Russia. Not going to talk about all of them today. I'm going to talk about Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. Jesu Christu. I'm going to take you to the Gospel of Mark, where I've been astounded again by the living words of God. In talking about the physics of miracles, I can feel the prayers as they have descended with God's power all over this radio broadcast. I can feel God's power as in revival. And may he stretch out his hand. May God do what is extraordinary in the name and to the glory of and to the making known of Jesu Christu. Gospel of Mark chapter 1, the beginning of the gospel about Jesu Christu, Jesus Christ, Son of God. It is written in Isaiah the prophet. Now, this is what he says. Listen, if you want to talk about miracles, you want to talk about what God does in this day of human intention, on the one hand, human nothingness, human intention and human nothingness in one category. In the other category, planos spirits, cosmocrators, the arche, the demonic realm that is ramped up so beyond anything in history, coming with supernatural experience and power and might and work by finite entities. And just around the corner of human history, we've already said a lot about the Antichrist. Let me tell you about the false prophet a second. Astounding power, astounding, so much so that what that false prophet does, by the way, he has to ascend from underneath the earth. He's down there. He's somewhere under the earth. There's a hiddenness about where he's at. My assumption, my opinion involved in the kinds of ritual release of powers that we see in Revelation 16, long before he comes to visible presence in the world. He is here long before that day will ever come. He'll be operative long before the day he is here visibly. Revelation 13 says he ascends out of the earth. And when he does, and the powers that will be displayed will literally infect, affect, and influence billions. That's the intent. If you don't understand the coming global quest of a deceiving, seducing, counterfeited, but real spiritual power. Counterfeiting signs, wonders, miracles, healings, resurrection even. That is all just about ready to bust out after the great chaos. You're hearing it now that you might be warned, because if you're a psychic, a remote viewer, if you're someone that is entrenched in Casey, and you're someone of the New Age or of the prophecies of the Mayans, if you're into all those powers and works and spirits and energies, then let me tell you something right now. You've got the precursors that will seal your heart and your eyes and your perceptions. Literally grip you. I pray that God's power, the hand of God, go out today. And whenever this is heard, and whoever is listening, it is my prayer that God knows, omniscience, future, the past, the present, all at the same time and beyond it. Every possible contingency. And it is God that then, now, did I mention this in Mark's gospel? Did I tell you that today I'm going to tell you what has astounded me, stunned me, absolutely gripped me, showing once again what is the most vital issue in this fallen, broken, pain-filled, bleeding trail of tears humanity that we're engaged with. Mark's Gospel, chapter 1, verse 2, it is written in Isaiah the prophet 700 years prior. I will send my messenger ahead of you who will prepare your way. Now that's God, the Spirit, speaking about John the Baptist, one of over 300 prophecies in advance. Does anybody get this? The infallible, accurate prophecies in detail? Massive communication by God. Anybody listening? Anybody have ears to hear what the Spirit is saying? Anybody? Do you really want to listen to finite dark spirits? I'm reading that book, The Physics of Miracles, by what would be really a New Ager that is got the precursors of coming global Luciferic power. He tells about his entrance into his abilities to bring healing in the writing of this book and the discussion. It's an entity that engages him wearing a multicolored turban, basically commanding him and offering him powers of healing in the midst of all that he's getting and receiving. And he said as though his head was opened up, and all of a sudden this revelation, this power, this presence, this ability was downloaded into his head, spiritual downloaded into his head. And then a female entity, a being, spoke to him. Once again, it's either the demonstrated limits of humanity, the limits of this fallen world, and standing there trying to get potential, trying to do something, or just standing there with nothing, giving up and saying that it's not worth trying. Like the guy sitting on the side of the road, looks like he hadn't taken a bath in 6 months. His hair is bad. A human being, little sign out, will work for food. Seems like they never do work for food, just steal money. Some make $500 a day. The Spirit of God says, a voice of one calling in the desert, prepare the way for the Lord, make straight paths for him. You ever read this Gospel of Mark? See, I mentioned it on Monday, asking you in the context of a week of miracles, of God interacting. Not just hearing about what the devil's doing and the counterfeit and all those powers and all those workings. We've got to bring exposure to that, yes. But the greatest defense is the most powerful, full offense that flows from the Lord Jesus Christ. If you want a psychic, all right. If you want Nostradamus, okay. If you want Sai Baba, there you go. If you want a New Age mystic, there you are. If you want the 2012 Mayan blood-bought pop prophecies, well, there you go. I want Christ. I want the one that died on a cross, shedding his blood, saying, Father, forgive them. I want the one that I'm reading about in the Gospel of John, in the Gospel of Luke, in the Gospel of Matthew, and this incredible, dynamic revelation of Christ in the Gospel of Mark. Can I tell you to read the Gospel of Mark? Just take a look at Jesus. Whatever your background, I'm going to beg you in the sight of God, take a look at Christ, this Christ, not a de-deified, fake, rabbit's foot type, you know, psychic Jesus or alien Jesus or 2012 Jesus or Edgar Casey fake Jesus. That Jesus can't help anybody. Nobody's ever really even able to talk about that fake, de-deified. We're talking about the real thing here. I mean, you get in the first chapter alone and you see this incredible introduction concerning Jesus Christ, the Son of God, plastered in the very beginning. The calling of disciples. The first thing in Jesus unleashing the gospel, telling everybody to metanoia, to change, to turn around, to repent, believe the good news that's coming out of heaven. The good news that's coming from God. The good news that brings the fix for humanity, salvation, the power of sanctification, the coming glorification, new heaven, new earth, all by the hands of God, all done by the hands of God. They were once nailed to the cross, you know. The blood spattered on the dust. A moment in time, wood between the worlds. The voice comes in that first chapter referring to Christ. Out of heaven, you are my son whom I love. With you I am well pleased. Yeah, there's PDF notes, study notes on the website you can download. I will get to A, B, and C, and D today. A, the power and the end of self. B, the powers of dark spirits and Luciferianism. C, the power of God. Or D, the choice for nothing. See, I would say, listening right now, there are those that live in search of power for self and find the end of self. You know what really, it really concerns me, Ray Kurzweil, the transhumanist, the man that's doing everything he can to somehow, whether gene splicing and, science to alter humanity to the point of bringing immortality. Taking, in a year's time, thousands of vitamins to upgrade his dying, aging body. It's almost as though a frantic, panicked search to end somehow by the hand of man what is inevitable, death and dying, and what then? And all with spitting in the face of God, I'll grab eternity for myself. Show me the man that's done that. Show me the scientist who has done that. Show me the arrogance. And I'll show you their bones. I'll show you their dust 6 feet under, X's in their eyes. And with the compassionate heart of God, they've lost it all. What will it profit if a man, you know, gains the whole world, but yet loses his own soul? I don't want the fake Mormon de-deified Jesus. I don't want the fake de-deified Jehovah Witness cult Jesus. None of the fake de-deified, reduced down to a rabbit's foot, psychic alien, nothing Jesus can help you. But if you want a Savior, if you want God, if you want to see His heart, if you want to see His compassion, if you want to see how He treats humanity, if you want to see what He's done, if you want to watch how creation listens to Him and the demons fear Him and are outed by Him, if you want to see reality breaking into this fallen, broken, tear-filled, bloody world, then read the Gospel of Mark. In that first chapter, he drives out a demonic presence in an individual. That man, a demon spoke out of his mouth. Now, I've heard about that. I've listened to demons for so long now. I'm sick of them. Jesus commanded, be quiet, come out of him. Ek is the word. The evil spirit shook the man violently and came out with a shriek. It screamed. Luciferian Satanist, do you understand? The demon screamed. Screamed bloody murder on the way out. Verse 29, chapter 1, Jesus heals many. Verse 35, Jesus goes to a solitary place to put out some prayers. Ends by saying that he's preaching the gospel, the good news. How to know God. How to embrace God. How to be embraced by God. How to have the power and life and might, the fix of God in the very being of your, listen, salvation includes affecting your genetics, your DNA, your spirit, your soul, the totality of you. Oh, there's a man with leprosy there in chapter 1. You ever read about that? The man with leprosy came to him and begged him. Begged him. Verse 41, God in human flesh. Here's the report. Filled with compassion, Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. I'm willing, that's the words of God, I am willing, be clean. And then verse 42, a little word, euthos, euthos. Again and again, euthos is put out throughout this entire Gospel of Mark. Euthos again and again and again. Euthos again and again and again. Immediately, or straightway, immediately the leprosy left him and he was cured. That's, listen, when it comes to the power of God striking, that's the ultimate, consistent picture of healing here. Immediately, it is euthos. Euthos. I'm reading about how God in human flesh acted and moved euthos. Straightway, nothing to stop him, no zigzag. Immediately. Jesus moves immediately. You ever read chapter 1? If chapter 1 doesn't begin to astound you, go to chapter 2. Jesus heals the paralytic. He heals a man. He's carried. He's carried by his friends, and they're bringing him. They're digging their way to get to Jesus. Verse 5 says, when Jesus saw their faith, he forgave the man, and the man was instantly, immediately healed. Verse 8, immediately Jesus knew in his spirit. There were those in the room that saw it, and all of a sudden they're all bugged about him healing the man. Because he forgave sins. See, now it's God in human flesh. He knows the thoughts of man. You know what he knows? He knows your thoughts. He knows who you are. He knows your sins. He knows your inconsistencies. He knows your hypocrisy. He knows who you are. He knows your arrogance. He knows that when you put up your arguments against God, that you doubt yourself. God is so real. Not only does he exists profoundly, massively. It's only blind eyes. You know, if you're a blind man driving your car into a semi-truck going 80 miles an hour, you're going to find out reality, though you couldn't see it. See, reality, it's God breaking into you and I, into this fallen world where we screwed up, where we messed up, where our very DNA, our lives were infected with a sin code. Romans 8, read it. Read it, read it. Genetics are infected, yes. That infects the entire being. That's why you know that you are not a perfect being. But in reading the Gospel of Mark, don't ask me to embrace a psychic, lay down $10 for some words. I'm not going to take that source. Don't ask me to bow down and kiss the head of a crystal skull, even if they find all 13. Don't ask me to do that. I don't want to be shot up with a drug that enhances me or alters me. No, I don't want ayahuasca. And I want my spirit opened up to the demon gods that led ancient humanity to slaughter other humans in horrific ritual sacrifice, a la the Mayans and the Aztecs and all around the world. You know, what do you really want? Do you want you, yourself, and that's it? Do you want the powers of the dark side? Do you want listen, do you want miracles and powers and workings regardless of the source? Do you really want an evolution to godhood, not knowing where it's coming from or who promised it or how it will happen? You ever read the Gospel of Mark chapter 2? Do you ever see Jesus calling leaders and calling people to follow? You ever see him unleashing his works? When those who have set aside the word of God and made up their own religion and became nothing more than just dead religion, burdens on the backs of fallen humanity, nobody can live up to man-made religion, harsh, empty, lifeless. Is that what you really want? That's why Mormons have left Mormonism. That's why Jehovah's Witnesses, you know, that's why there are those in the Catholic system and the Episcopal system and all over, and why New Agers are burning out. You've embraced mysteries. You've embraced pictures and statues, and you've embraced concepts and thoughts, and you've been distracted and preoccupied, but you haven't embraced God, have you? He's either on the inside, and you know it, or he's on the outside. And even if you don't know it, I'm telling you now, by this, and I know the Spirit of God will speak to you if you'll open your heart. He wants to come in with the full force of heaven's love and mercy and grace. Oh, it includes power and enhancement. It ends up in glorification. Indestructible, irreversible immortality, seeing the face of God. Jesus asks the religious nuts of the day, is it lawful on the Sabbath to do good or evil, to save a life or to kill? He silenced them. Jesus silenced the hypocrites. Jesus silences religion. They wanted to kill him. There are those that listen that might get angry. There are those that got dark spirits inside. You might get angry. Why? Jesus Christ. There's no one like him. John's Gospel 3:16, he's called monogenesis, the only one of a kind, only begotten of God. This is Emmanuel, 700 years prior. God said he's coming. Emmanuel, born of a virgin called Mighty God. That's right. Do you know this one? Now, you're going to read in chapter 2 about the calling of disciples. And yeah, he's going to call you to stand up, follow him. You're going to read in verse 10 about healing. He's going to heal people and diseases, and they're pushing forward. When the spirits saw him, could you imagine this? All these individuals in the crowd, they got demon spirits. There are so many in that day. There's so many around the world. There are people that have spirits. There are some of you listening right now. You've got spirits. People have emailed me and said the demons, they like listening, but the powers inside said, shut it down. Turn it off. Don't listen. Well, the Lord crushed the demons. In Jesus' name. When the demons, which are able to look through and see and perceive and know, when they saw Jesus, you ever read it in chapter 2? They saw him. They fell down before him and cried out, "You are the Son of God." In the collective meaning of the Old Testament to the New, you are Yahweh in human flesh. You are the Savior of the world. You are the Son of God representing humanity. You are the perfect one. That's the demon saying it. Can you imagine arrogance in the angry, empty, frustrated atheist? You ever read chapter 2? Do you ever see what they're trying to figure? They're trying to figure Jesus out. They're trying to look at him, figure him out. You ever read chapter 3? You ever take a look at it? How it begins? People are there, looking. There's a man with a shriveled hand. There are religious nuts there that want to accuse him, and they want to destroy him, and they watched him closely. So blinded by their own sin, so blinded, Jesus said about them. He confronted them face to face in John's Gospel chapter 5. He said, your father is the devil. The father of religion that leads no one to God but turns people off. The father of that religion, that hypocrisy, that emptiness, that clothesline looks like something religious but dead men's bones dwell in them. Open graves, Jesus said. Woe to you Pharisees. You ever read it in Matthew 23? You ever read where he just unleashes on dead, man-made, God-rejected religion? So Jesus demonstrates who he is. The man stands up. Stand up in front of everyone, Jesus tells him. He heals the man. Totally. Instantly. Euthyrus, immediately, instantly, he's healed. Father, I ask that you stretch out your hands in the name of Jesus of Nazareth in an extraordinary way, whether by satellite, whether by internet, whether by the archives later on. My prayer is that you will save, that you will heal individuals listening immediately, that you will deliver them by the authority of Jesus' name. Immediately. Parable of the sower. That's what Jesus talks about in chapter 4. A lamp on a stand. The growing of the kingdom of God. You know how chapter 4 ends? Jesus. This is the Jesus I want. I don't know about you. I don't want Sylvia Brown's fake, de-deified, psychic, non-existent Jesus. Don't give me a Gnostic Jesus, a fake de-deified, doesn't exist. It is manufactured by the finite spirits to bring Antichristu, anti instead of, and there's one coming that will be the primary anti instead of the real Christ. Now, does those who listen to Coast to Coast, those who listen to talk shows all over the world, do you realize that when individuals talk about the Antichrist, did you realize that they're talking about the one that's coming, and the only reason for his existence is in the opposing of the real Christ with the goal of being the instead of, a replacement of, presenting himself as a savior to the world. It is considered the pinnacle of deception, metaskizmazatai, the power to transfigure. So he's going to look good to a lot of people. though he will be the cause of the collapse of the economies, the nations, the environment, the bloodshed and the dying under his reign, billions in 3 or 4 years. Is that who you want to embrace? Chapter 4, a great big thunder shower, a big squall, something comes up on the massive lake there. The waves are breaking over. These experienced fishermen, they're deeply concerned. The boat's nearly swamped. You ever read verse 38? Jesus, God in human flesh, of course in a body, sleeping. Sleeping on a cushion. Good news is the disciples knew who to go to. Humanly, they had nothing. Humanly, they were limited. And they didn't call out for Zeus. They didn't call out for the Nephilim. They didn't call out for transhumanists to come and do something, take a few pills, change their genetics. Didn't ask for that. They woke up Jesus. You know, they said, "Teacher, don't you care if we drown?" I know that when we're hurting and when we're in pain and it seems like nobody cares, all we do is bleed. Nobody cares? Really? Really? I'm going to tell you about the Savior that I know, the God that I've walked with for 36 years now. He cares, utterly cares. I know that the feeling of that care comes in my heart, at times overwhelms me, to where I'm speechless, so filled with compassion I can't even talk. At times, we'll say that I'm having a difficult time today because I've been undone. I've been stricken by Jesus Christ, astonished by his life. Here in chapter 4, Jesus gets up. He rebukes the wind and the waves. You know what he says? "Quiet, be still." The wind died down, and it was completely calm. That's the physics of God. That's the physics of God. Oh, in the original singularity, call it Big Bang, whatever they are trying to describe, intelligent design, all of a sudden God spoke. And it wasn't out of nothing, because nothing doesn't exist. Nothing is nothing. It was out of God that creation flung into existence. And so when God in human flesh tells creation, the wind, it's no big thing. The waves, it's no big thing. Stop it. Be quiet. Be still. The wind died down and it was completely calm. You know what the disciples said? You know what mankind says? You know what those of us that have lived in our limitations, lived in this trail of tears, bloodshed, trying to survive kind of world and figure it all out. You know what they said? You ever read verse 41 in John in Mark's Gospel, chapter 4? They were terrified. They asked each other, "Who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him." Don't give me a fake Jesus. Don't give me a DD. If I don't give me a psychic, don't give me quatrains from Nostradamus. They're not from God. Don't tell Eric von Daniken that I want to hear anything more about ancient aliens. I don't. I'm sick of it. It's a lie. It's a deception. He doesn't know the living Christ. He stands in arrogance concerning some kind of finite entities in crafts that crash, that leave us here, and they don't care. The disciples asked whether Jesus cared or not. He got up and took care of the business. Then they feared. What kind of individual can do this? Did they not read the prophecy? "Unto us a child is born, son is given, Prince of Peace, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Wonderful Counselor." You ever read it? God tried to give us a heads up. And even now, God gives us a heads up towards the end of days. Mark's Gospel, chapter 5, the big, massive, demonized man living naked in the tombs, cutting himself, bleeding, screaming, howling, everybody afraid. They tried to take iron chains and bind him, but because he had non-human enhancement, dark powers indwelled him. For real, he had powers. Is that what you want? When the demons saw, listen, you ever read it in verse 6? When the demons saw Jesus from a distance. I mean, he took over the man and was operating through the man. And then through the man's voice, his mouth, his vocal cords, the demon shouted at the top of his voice, "What do you want with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? Swear to God that you won't torture me." Because Jesus was saying, "Come out of this man, you evil spirit." He knows what is evil. He knows what is wrong. He knows their deception. That authority he's given to us now, we've got to use it hundreds and hundreds of times. Oh, I tell you, these entities are here. And we haven't seen anything yet. The other side, they're coming in massive global droves. The great chaos is about here. When Antichrist rises and the false prophet is here, you got to understand how thick the air really will be. Has nothing to do with the fading or quieting or stilling the power of God. God will still be God. In the center of hell, God is God. In the face of Satan, God is God. So come Antichrist, come hell, come false prophet, come the abyss, come Armageddon, God is still God. He's going to bring an end to all of it. Only he who died on the cross and for that purpose will do that for you, for me, for humanity. He's not going to leave the world as it is. Not going to happen. Legion was kicked out. And the bloody, crazed, naked man living in the tombs, shreds of humanity. You know what happens? In the same day, he is clothed and in his right mind. And all he wants to do is follow Jesus. That man knew nobody else could help him. All those people that tried to chain him, all those people that got rid of him, only Jesus delivered him. Hey, crackhead, Jesus Christ can deliver you. Get out of it. Whatever the addiction, whatever the sin, whatever the level of filth, this is a Savior whose grace abounds over your sin. His power is great, and may God strike you. May God strike you with mercy. May God strike you with grace. May God strike you with his power. This is the Savior. They were all amazed. That's what you're going to read in the Gospel of Mark again and again. The people were, and reading the living words. You see, when I read these words, although written maybe, 2,000 years ago? They're alive. But I'm reading while he's dwelling in me and upon me and with me to the end of the age. I can't open that book without him being here. He's never going to leave me, never going to forsake me. Do you know him? Do you know him? Point A in the notes today, the power and the end of self. We're limited. We have limited capacities. I'm on a big venture trying to learn Greek vocabulary. I want to master it. I feel like I'm just an infant. I've been using it for 25 years, but I want to master it. I want to know it so well. I want to know this so well. That's why I like this new word. Euthus, immediately, instantly, again and again and again and again. You know, circle it. Sometimes it'll say it like straightway or immediately or instantly, but it's the same word. God moves that way. I will ask right now that God, in Christ's name, the same Savior that's on these pages that I'm talking about, the same Savior that's dwelling within, that we're proclaiming to you, sharing with you, that you don't ask me to be more excited about anything else. Don't ask me to be more loyal to anything else but him. Don't ask me to be more emotionally bonded to anyone else. This is Christ, and he died for me. You ever hear about a man named Stud, cricketer, wealthy individual, had all of his life before him, but one day he looked at a picture of the cross. Somebody had painted a picture. It was Jesus on a cross, and he stood there astounded, and he cried out, "If this be Christ, and he died for me, no sacrifice is too great." He left everything, became an astounding, by God's power, by God's grace, missionary. Do you really want to be a psychic? Do you really want to be a New Ager? Do you really want to be a Mayan ayahuasca-taking, engaging, and hoping for the return of Quetzalcoatl? Do you really want that? Do you really want to just be a soldier with nothing but blood and guts and anger and drinking and do you really want to be that? Do you really want to follow Ray Kurzweil, take all those pills, hope somehow, someway, someplace, someday science can find the death gene, conquer it, and splice in immortality? I confess to you that God has already spliced in immortality. Anybody who's saved, born of the Spirit of God, read about it, 1 John chapter 5. The Spirit of God says, "I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you might know," gnosko, "that you might know experientially, deeply, that you have eternal life." You ever read this chapter here, 5? It doesn't end with this, the demon being kicked out. It goes on with them begging Jesus to come to deal with a little girl, but on the way, a sick woman sees Jesus. She hears a little bit. She's been spending all her money. She's in that power of self. She's come to the end of everything, the end of herself. You know what she does? She figures inside that if she can just get close to Jesus and touch him, she can be healed. You know what she did? She got close. She touched him. And the Greek word used, power, dunamis, went out from Jesus. And you know what it says? Verse 29. Immediately her blood stopped, this blood issue, this disease, and she was freed from her suffering. Don't ask me to tone down. Don't ask me just to talk about alien Pleiadian grays from another fake world out there. I don't care. They can't do nothing. The entities there, well, they can capture, snatch individuals and rape them and do stuff. And this is who we want? This is the disclosure we want, really? Jesus says in the crowd again, God in human flesh, he just simply, "Who touched me?" Again, this is that concept of anthropomorphic. This is God now turning around. He knows. The woman comes trembling. She's afraid. Notice in the presence of God, you didn't have to be afraid. You know what he did? He said to her, "Daughter, daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace and be freed from your suffering. This is the Prince of Peace now in human flesh." He's coming again, you know. He's going to end all the junk, the counterfeit, the lies, the deception. Oh, all of it's going to end. And a kingdom where there is no war. And the gift of indestructible immortality. Huh. Have you looked at the physics of that? Have you even considered the physics of indestructible, irreversible immortality, with eyes that can look and see God face to face and watch him reach out his hand? That's the locality of God in the future kingdom. Wipe away every tear. God's all about wiping away tears. May the Lord Jesus stretch out his hand to you today to wipe away tears. May God stretch out his hand today to wipe away the tears. If anybody can, it's the one who shed them on the cross sinlessly for you. What's he say in verse 36? Don't be afraid, just believe. What happens after all of that? Well, he gets to that house where the little girl died. Little girl died. That's right. You know what he says? Telethia kuum. It means little girl. God addresses the little 12-year-old. Little girl, I say to you, get up. Verse 42, immediately, euthus. Euthus, immediately the girl stood up and walked around. She was 12 years old. You know what Jesus did? Told the people there that was astonished, because all they could do was see the dead 12-year-old alive now. How about that, Mom? How about that, Dad? They're so enamored with that, he has to be the one to tell them, go give her something to eat. Did you ever read chapter 6? Jesus feeds the 5,000. Jesus walks on the water. You know what verse 45 says in chapter 6? You know what it says? You ever read it? Immediately, Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go. He went to the mountainside to pray. This is the one that prayed for us. I want someone that prays for me. He's the intercessor for all believers in Christ. As you're listening right now, just now, open your heart, open your arms, look up to God and say, you know what? I'm at the end of myself. I'm but a sinner. I'm but lost. And I don't know you, but I turn to Jesus Christ. Jesus, save me. Jesus, come into my life. Jesus, give me your power. Jesus, deliver me. Jesus, give me the gift of eternal life. He'll come in instantly, immediately. God, stretch out your hands now to save. You ever read the end of chapter 6? Here's what it says, verse 56. Wherever he went, into villages, towns, and countrysides, they placed the sick in the marketplaces. They begged. That's humanity. They begged. I'm not afraid to beg. I'm not afraid to have emotion and say, oh, God, heal this individual. I'm not afraid to say, oh, God, get me to that demonized guy so I can command the demon to get out. I'm not afraid to say, oh, God, get me to the Russians that they can be saved. Get me into China that they can hear the gospel and be saved. Get me into Estonia. Get me there on the Philippine Islands. Get me down there among them that listen in Brazil or Pretoria or Mumbai or Oslo or Anchorage, Alaska. You listening? Has God struck you with his grace, struck you with his power, struck you with amazing grace? It all flows from Christ. Don't ask me to talk about anybody else today, anything else today. Christ. Here's what it says. They begged him to let them touch the edge of his cloak, and all who touched him were healed. Jesu Christu. Does a chosen one want their demons and their enhancement, their powers that'll all, it's going to all go up in smoke in the end? You really want that? Fight your way. Cry out to Jesus. Get to him. You ever read chapter 7? I can hardly go anymore without just being undone. A woman that wants to be healed so bad, all she knows is that she's a secondary citizen. She's considered a non-human. She's the Jews look down on her. She's nothing but a woman. Was Greek, born in, well, Phoenicia. She begged Jesus to drive the demon out of her daughter. From a massive distance, well, you know, he said he came to come to the Jews first and then to the rest. It was just a function. It was nothing about privilege. It's because he was setting them up in advance. Israelis, you've missed, many of you, you've missed Messiah. You want to read Isaiah 53 again? Look on the cross. Every writer of the New Testament except one was Jewish that believed in Yahweh Adonai, Jesu Christu. The lady says, but even the dogs under the table, they get to eat the children's crumbs. Even the dogs. She didn't care about herself. She just wanted that grace. She wanted that mercy. She wanted a miracle. Jesus said, for such a reply, you may go. The demon has left your daughter. She went home and found her child lying on the bed, and the demon gone. Is there any Christians that know the authority of Christ and will do what Jesus did? Is there any Christians left that will preach the gospel, lay hands on the sick and pray for them to be healed in the name of Jesus of Nazareth? Will there be any Christian that will go to the highways and the byways? And instead of saying, call somebody else, stand up like a man of God. Stand up like a woman of God, like a real believer, simply a real believer, and command the demon to get out. Point B, you can have the powers of demons. You can embrace the Antichrist. You can look at the false prophet. You can stand there in the future and say, who can make war against the beast? While you lose your soul and never taste, feel, experience the breath, the power, the grace, the might, the love, the redemption, the healing, the restoration of God. God doesn't take pleasure over that. No, no. Rather that you turn. So I ask God with every ounce of the astounding power of heaven, right now, Father, in Jesus' name, stretch out your hands to save immediately, to heal immediately, to destroy demonic powers in individuals listening. I ask for extraordinary miracle here, Lord. Do you want the power of God dwelling in you, coursing through your being? Do you want the gift of eternal life already set in you so that when, in the return of Christ, in the twinkling of an eye, on an atomic level, a flash, by the exertion of the power of infinite God, mortal, the dead in Christ rise first. We are alive. Harpezo, by a superior force, we are caught up. We're immortal. We're seeing the face of God. Even the scriptures depict our emotion in the future when we see the face of Christ, that we're astounded. You ever read the first chapter of 2 Thessalonians? On the day he becomes, that he's marveled at, that's predicted that we as believers will even stand with mouths that are hardly able to quiver out Jesu Christu in the astounding sight of a Savior that lives in us now. The choice, nothing, demons, deception, die in obscurity, or God, Christ. Hey, this is Russ Dizdar, ShadowTheDarkness.net, to the praise, to the honor of Jesu Christus.